Welcome to Changing Tunes, the Music Plus podcast. This week, it's all about NFTs or non-fungible tokens. We'll speak with Vishakha Singh from the WazirX NFT marketplace to learn why musicians need to understand the NFT craze and how blockchain technology helps not just the musician, but also the patron. I'm your host, Animesh. And now joining us from Bombay itself, the co-founder and vice president of the WazirX NFT marketplace, Vishakha Singh. Welcome to Changing Tunes, the Music Plus podcast. Vishakha, how are you doing today?
Doing really well, Animesh. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. So there's been a lot of buzz about NFTs in the recent months, right? So much buzz, in fact, that it kind of seems safe to say that NFTs as a concept will be breaking into the mainstream any day now. But as the activity swells up, I believe that really there are only a few who actually get it and a lot more who really don't. So for all our listeners, let's break it down. What exactly is an NFT and why are these three letters buzzing the way they are?
You know, Animesh, it all started with this person called Beeple, this artist who sold his NFT artwork for $69 million. Now, I think the media just went crazy with that huge number because it was supposed to be a digital file, an asset that you could not touch that got sold for $69 million. And since then, everybody in the startup ecosystem is trying to raise funds to build up an NFT marketplace. People are jumping on the bandwagon thinking they can make their own NFTs. But it's very important to remember that the premise of NFTs is the blockchain technology, which is a decentralized place where people are the core of the community who maintain ledgers and records of transactions. Now, the blockchain is here to stay. It's been around for a while. NFTs are nothing but digital assets. Now, if I was to really, really simplify it for layman, NFT is any content that you put out on your social media, which means it could be a photograph that you have clicked, an art piece that you've drawn, a music you've composed, a lyric that you've written, a poem that you've written. It could be something as simple as a headline in the newspaper, a tweet. As long as you can prove the ownership of it, there are no IP rights conflicts there, you can put it on the blockchain for sale. Like anything that you know, create. At the end of the day, when you put it on social media, it is a digital file. Mm-hmm. It will reside there for some sort of community engagement, as some sort of a community engagement exercise. It will reside there for the creator to get some sort of a validation from the community. But if you want to be smart in the pandemic, put it on the blockchain and try and make a sale of it.
Okay, non-fungible token. That's the full form, of course. So what, is it just right to say that this is just another platform or marketplace or device largely for artists to help sell their art? Is that really what it is?
It is not just a marketplace, so to say. This is where dreams come true.
Wow.
We all know how badly everybody was affected, especially independent creators and artists during the pandemic. A lot of us were left to fend for ourselves in the pandemic, and the passion economy literally got propelled by the pandemic, because independent artists, creators don't wait for things to happen, or for luck to shine on them. They find their way. And the NFT ecosystem has been driven so far by innovators. I'll just backtrack and just actually give you the full form of what does non-fungible token actually mean? Mm-hmm. Fungible is anything that is replaceable. Non-fungible is something that is absolutely unique. It's one of its kind. Just wanted to make that clear. It is a marketplace. It is for buying and selling of not just artwork, but any kind of creation. What you have to remember is that at the front end of it is it's like a social media platform where you're putting your content out there. But at the back end of it is the blockchain and the crypto element of it. And that is what makes it a tradable asset.
Okay. How different is it really from, say, an art gallery which commissions a painter to come up with this new series so that it could sell it out or auction it out to an audience? Or from the conventional way of for musicians, which is a music label would give you a deal whereby you record an album and the music label then markets that album and ensures that everyone makes money, including the artist to some degree. What's the process really here for the artist?
So the beauty of the NFT ecosystem is that there are no middlemen. I am a film producer as well. And I, as an independent film producer, I know how difficult it has been for me to release my film in a theater or on an OTT platform, right? Especially in a theater, because that is your bottleneck. We're all fighting for that place in that multiplex. NFTs are like your OTT platforms. Everybody gets a chance to put your content out there. And OTTs have actually saved the film industry and a lot of film producers. In a traditional art gallery, what happens is you have, you know, hundreds of artists reaching out and, you know, submitting their portfolio to the art gallery. The art gallery then curates the artwork, you know, showcases it for a week maybe or for a few days. Then again, you know, takes it down, paints the art gallery again, et cetera, you know, the drill. It's very expensive to get it basically showcased in an art gallery. And apart from that, just getting selected at an art gallery to be showcased is a lengthy process. And of course, not to forget, art galleries can charge you anything between 40 to 60% commissions.
So can music labels.
Yeah, so can music labels. So here what happens is, the beauty is, when you're on an NFT marketplace, you are directly selling to a collector. That's one. Wazirex NFT marketplace charges only 5% transaction fee from individual creators and artists. And once you have made a sale to a collector, if the collector decides to sell your creation or artwork in the secondary market, you are assured of a lifetime of royalty. And something that is something that you as an artist or a creator decide what it should be. So it could be anything from 10% to 15% to 25%. On our platform, of course, it's pegged at 15%. But there are some platforms that allow for 25% royalty as well. So imagine, so from creator to collector, collector to a second collector, you get 15% royalty. From the second collector, maybe to a third collector, you still get 15% royalty, because all of it is evidenced on the blockchain.
Certainly seems like an absolute boon for artists everywhere, right? But there's always an apprehension. Is there a catch? What are some of these myths at the moment that you think are being propagated around the NFT concept or just the ecosystem as such, which need to be broken?
So, you know, from a creator perspective, it's been a boon to creators. Of course, again, the discoverability factor of how do you make yourself visible to the collector so that they pick up your artwork. That is, the question is always there, but the community is so niche that you, at the end of the day, the right collector will find you and you are able to make a sale faster. I'll give you an example of, we actually collaborated with an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Our artist actually showcased her physical artwork in the art gallery and then had the NFT version of that artwork on our NFT platform. Now, the artwork in the offline space, of course, was very expensive and it takes some time to, you know, get that sale done. When the artwork was actually showcased at the gallery, none of her pieces were actually sold out. But the NFT versions of her artwork, 50% of her NFT works actually got sold out immediately. So there was a faster transaction, you know, and conversion for her. In terms of myths, it's only from the collector perspective, because you have to remember it's the collector at the end of the day who drives the economics.
Hmm.
Why is the collector investing? And why do I use the word investing? Front end of it is an audiovisual experience. It has an aesthetic value. So there will be some collectors who will just buy it from an aesthetic point of view. And what would they gain? What they gain is they have screens back home. They have, you know, get-togethers at home, and that's their bragging right. I mean, what does an MF Hussain painting do at your house? It's certainly not doing any hard work, right? It's just sitting looking pretty. And that's the same thing with the visual asset, where you have screens and you have your NFTs, you know, playing in loop, and it's a bragging right for the collector. So there are some collectors who will only collect it from the aesthetic point of view, but then there are some collectors who are crypto traders.
Mm-hmm.
Who will probably, now for instance, if you're buying a Bitcoin, you buy one Bitcoin and you get one Bitcoin. But if you buy one Bitcoin of NFTs, you get the Bitcoin and you get these NFTs. Right now, tomorrow, if the Bitcoin value dips and you want to list this NFT artwork in the secondary market, you can still price it at 2 bitcoins and make a sale. Why? Because this NFT artwork's value is now not just decided by the cryptocurrency, but because of the social currency of the artist as well, of the art as well, and of the collector's own credibility and social currency in the ecosystem.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to pull that a bit back, right? At the moment, I'm assuming one of your tasks is also to help build the audience for NFTs in India, right? How's that going? How much effort really is it taking you to educate an audience about what's happening, and then more importantly, to convince them? And finally, how do you get them to trust not just the concept, but also the company?
So, we got lucky that way that when I and my co-founder, when we were building the NFT marketplace, we got acquired by WazirX, which is India's most trusted crypto exchange. So that trust factor, of course, was there. But in terms of education, you're right. Compared to the West, the Indian market is still very, very nascent. You know, we are still waking up to the concept of crypto. And of course, there are three elements, right? There's the blockchain, and the crypto at the back end, and the front end is the non-fungible token. You know, in the future, we may actually look at non-fungible tokens being sold in fiat currency, which is INR or USD, yep, or euros or pounds, etc. But how do you get people to even come onto the blockchain and realize the potential of blockchain in a country which still doesn't have access to, 4G and 5Gs in remote areas? So, as I said, the economy is propelled by innovators. We did think of educating the masses, and of course, that is a continuous effort. But our core focus today remains only on early adopters, people who come. In fact, when we actually announced the launch of the platform, we were very clear that we will not go and convince anybody. We will put this information out there. Let's see who all reach out to us. And we've been very, very fortunate that we actually have a waitlist of 23,000 creators. You know, here's the challenge, the conflict. We don't want to be gatekeepers, but unfortunately, we did end up becoming gatekeepers because we were doing it for the first time. We had to set the culture. We had to set precedence. We had to set the ethics in place. And for that to happen, we had to handpick creators. So in the last 4 months since our launch, we only have 550 creators so far green listed on our platform, out of which about 25-30 have verified profiles, are pretty known in this space. We are trying to open up and, trying to get as many people to come on board, but our selection criteria is very, very clear. You should have dropped an NFT. You should have done your homework. You should have been consistently creating artwork. Just because blockchain and NFTs are working and just because any digital asset can make a sale does not mean that you suddenly get up, put a blank white slate out there saying this is art and try and sell that. Or put your happy birthday video that you just clicked at home, or if you've had a fight with your girlfriend and you want to click, put some personal videos out there, as that is absolutely disrespectful to real artists and creators who've been at it, without receiving money, without getting deals in place, who consistently create artwork and, their content and create their music and put it out there on their social media. So even when we get applications now, we actually take the pains of going to their social media profile, seeing how old is this profile. Was it formed in 2016, 2012, or October 2021? October 2021, sorry, bye-bye,
Actually, my next question was about the NFT marketplace or the WazirX NFT marketplace that was launched June 2021. So you now have a few months of data with you, right? What does this initial data telling you? What kind of artists are cooking up NFTs? What's getting sold? And once we cover the entire broad spectrum of that space, I really want to understand how does music factor into what you're doing within the last few months?
Absolutely. So if you look at the pyramid, art will always be the base, because at the end of the day, it's an audiovisual experience. Initially, it was the visual experience. And then as we evolve, we realize that it is the audio-visual element that can make a lot of difference and can actually fetch a better price. We launched with just 15 artists in the art space, from graphic artists, cartoonists, cubists, mixed media artists. I mean, you name it, and we had them on our platform. In July, we then introduced the music category. And from music, we have now, we've got art, we've got music, we've got photography, we've got travel NFTs on our platform, we've got devotional NFTs on the platform, spiritual NFTs that are coming on board, we've got augmented realities NFTs. So the whole idea was to introduce as many use cases as possible. Because, as I said, these are uncharted territories. We do not know what will actually work. So we said, okay, let's just introduce as many use cases as possible and see what happens. Right now, you know what? We launched in June. We have 550 creators. We have 350 collectors. We've had a sales volume of $400,000, which is very, very encouraging. Because if you just look at this, 350 collectors, 550 artists, and this is what we can achieve. Imagine once we increase the numbers, you know, how exponential this can be. Now, from the music space, this is phenomenal because creativity is the key here. Again, you know, I, as a film producer, keep getting a lot of musicians reach out to me and they compose their tunes and they send to me for consideration. Imagine if these musicians put this music out there on the blockchain and evidence the ownership on the blockchain. You will literally be able to do away with all these you know, IP copyright conflicts that arise.
Yep.
And people who steal your music. You can actually benefit by evidencing this on the blockchain and proving your ownership there. Now, the beauty of NFT rights is that it does not conflict with any rights in the physical offline space.
Okay.
Right. So now, if I'm a film producer and I'm releasing my film, I will probably, you know, try and sell my theatrical rights, OTT rights, music rights, overseas rights, satellite rights, etc., etc. Add to that the NFT rights. Now, the NFT rights, when I say why it doesn't conflict with anything in the
offline space.
When you're selling your NFT to a collector, the collector can only commercially use this NFT, exploit it commercially only on the blockchain.
Okay.
For instance, if there is an artwork from a music album and that artwork or the poster work has been sold to a collector, the collector can showcase it in his or her house or probably have sell it off again in the secondary market. The collector cannot have take a printout of that artwork on a t-shirt and then have 100 copies of that merchandise being sold off in the offline space. So that's the beauty of it. These were non-existential rights that can now be explored on the blockchain. So it's an additional stream of revenue. Now, from a musician's perspective, this is fantastic. While you're waiting for a producer or a music label to look for you or give you that first launch, you can still put your composition out there on the blockchain and start generating revenue. And without that affecting or impacting any of your future rights that you will be exploiting.
Okay. So I'm guessing then this is the thing that sets the NFT apart from, say, maybe a musician just launching an album or releasing it through Patreon or through Bandcamp, etc., where, or even through DistroKid and hosting it on various streaming platforms, where essentially what they are definitely doing is making it available to collectors, and collectors have the option of buying it as such or buying streaming rights or whatever of that sort, just the ability to be able to hear the album or the piece of song or whatever in entirety without any interruption, right? Is that fundamentally the difference then between selling an NFT or creating for an NFT marketplace versus selling for the traditional digital channels that we see these days?
Absolutely. As I said, this is a new stream of revenue that doesn't conflict with anything that you're doing, you know, in collaboration with a music label or a streaming platform. Tomorrow, when musicians actually go and close these deals, they can actually factor in NFT rights in their contracts.
Interesting. Okay, so let's talk about this a little bit more from the creator or the artist's perspective as such, right? Especially for musicians, producers, and basically any audio creators. Are there any case studies or examples in India, or if not India, then maybe internationally, of things that are being done right by in the field of music in the space of NFTs, something for everyone to look up to and maybe get an idea of, hey, this is how to do it?
So I'll give you a few examples from the WazirX NFT marketplace itself, and this is back home here. So we had the Sunburn Music Festival that dropped their first set of NFTs, and the collection was completely sold out within the first day of the launch. And they did something very simple. They just got their iconic logos and artworks and created some music and put it out there for sale. And their first set of, I think, 10 NFTs worth rupees 5.5 lakhs were sold out absolutely within 24 hours. Now imagine how good that is for an event company that has not had any events in the pandemic. And if you can consistently do that every few months, you can actually generate, keep on generating revenue and giving back to the community. So that was the first example. The second one was Ritviz and Nuclear. You know, they launched a set of NFTs prior to the launch of their album Bharat. Again, audiovisual experiences, very, very interesting. Again, sold out. And the best part is they were very, very engaging with the community. Now, the thing to remember here is the NFT community is not like your regular fans. You know, because we keep having a lot of conversations from the entertainment industry where a lot of representatives of actors reach out to us saying,
"Mujhe bhi NFT banana hai."
Yes. Now, we always ask people, what is your objective? Is it a media headline or do you really want to innovate? Because if it's a media headline, it doesn't really work for us. Because here, the fans are very, very different. These are not your fans, the Bhola Bhala fans, you know, from small towns who just want to see the person that they admire. These are very smart, crypto savvy, tech savvy, you know, individuals, innovators who are investing in you. So we've in fact just had Manish Malhotra, the Manish Malhotra NFT drops as well from the fashion NFT space. And again, all our collectors are people from, you know, the startup ecosystem and people who are into fintech and understand how this asset is going to appreciate in the secondary market. So you have to treat them differently, which means we have to participate within the community. We constantly, every week, we have a couple of Discord sessions and these collectors all hang out on Discord, on Clubhouse, on Twitter spaces, and then of course, IG. You have to be engaging. As somebody from the entertainment industry, you cannot have a diva attitude and say, "Achha, 4 ghanta you want from us and we'll charge an X amount of money." It doesn't work that way. We always tell people, leave the ego, leave the diva attitude out, come and engage, because we are all of us together innovating and building this thing together. And that's the beauty with music, in the music space, and especially, you know, in EDM artists, etc. Like Ritviz and Nuclear, very, very collaborative, came, you know, had a very engaging conversation with the community. Similarly, Palash Sen, I believe he launched another platform with his friend, very engaging on Clubhouse sessions. You need to come and do that. And that's when the community rewards. And because, you know, there's this community spirit of building this thing together. And that's the biggest checklist we give everybody, whoever wants to drop NFTs, participate, engage, learn and grow with us.
Okay, so really then the burden of marketing NFTs then lies heavily on the shoulders of the artists themselves.
50-50%, because what we have at Vazirex is that out of the 550 artists, we have 35 who are very known, but there are others who we have, and I wouldn't want to use because I don't want it to sound like we have some sort of a god syndrome, so to say. But because we are Vazirex and Vazirex NFT marketplace, we have the media connect. So there are discover artists, new artists who we have propelled into the limelight because they deserved it. And the whole idea is to make everybody a star, you know. And that is where Vazirex NFT marketplace actually puts in our efforts. We really, really work hard in ensuring that our artists get, you know, featured in publications and are featured on our social. So it's a 50-50% effort.
One very interesting thing that you said was about the audience or who constitutes the collectors at the moment, right? In the future, how many ever years it takes to get to that level, do you see this audience set expanding and becoming mass? Or will this firmly remain in the space where art collectors or art experts remain, which is a very small subsect of society when you look at social demographics in that sense?
That's a great question. So when you look at the NFT marketplace, you have to remember there are two people who constitute the NFT marketplace, the creator and the collector. And when it comes to the creator demographic is anywhere. Earlier, it was anywhere between the age group of 18 to 28 in the crypto community. In the NFT space, our youngest NFT artist is 12 years old, 13 years old, and then 15 years old, and 17 and 19, and then so on and so forth. But all primarily, you know, ranging from that to a probably, in fact, our oldest NFT artist is Ishita, who's probably about 47. But that's again, because she has been literally busting myths. There was this myth that the NFT space, because it's so tech savvy, is primarily, it consists of men, which is incorrect. We have a lot of female creators and a lot of female creators in their 40s as well, who've broken this myth. Now, from a collector perspective, it is, of course, primarily people, as I mentioned, who are tech savvy, crypto savvy, in the fintech space, in startup space, etc. there are a lot of artists who have transitioned into becoming collectors as well. I think that is a great evolution, because this proves that artists, you know, this whole concept of the starving artist needs to be busted. You know, I come from an entertainment industry, and it would always upset me when I would hear fellow producers say, I have given such and such person a chance. This is an exchange of talent and opportunity. It's as simple as that. Nobody gives you a chance. I think it's very good that now artists have become smart. It's not just about creating your art. You need to be smart here, and you need to invest, and you need to become, you know, now that they're becoming traders, they're becoming more financial savvy.
Okay. So then that really becomes, I don't know, does it become your job to go out and find in the tier two and the tier three cities, and even further down that in Bharat as opposed to India, the artists, etc., and kind of empower them and show them the way of how NFTs can maybe benefit them?
So what we have done is, now that the NFT community is growing and evolving, we're very fortunate to see that our own NFT artists are recommending, you know, their friends and in the tier two, tier three cities, and recommending their names and teaching them. So our job has become easier because our current set of NFT artists have become our spokespersons. And of course, in the future, in the next few months, we do have, you know, educational series that we're launching. We have vernacular series that we're launching to educate the masses. That will be a continuous process.
Okay. As we begin to wind down, I want to try and understand from you, what are your short-term and long-term goals like at the moment? And of course, let's first define what is short-term and what is long-term in this space.
Absolutely right, Animesh. I tell you, the trends change every 15 days here. Every 15 days. And I remember initially when I and my co-founder Sandesh, when we started off, and we literally, I mean, if you were to imagine us as two individuals sitting with a knitting yarn and, you know, literally knitting every day and building this thing up. Initially, we would get hassled with new announcements and, you know, new launches and new case studies that are happening. And initially, we would be very hassled, and then we would see them fizzle out. And we've seen NFT platforms launch and fizzle out in a month's time, you know. And our biggest understanding right now is that we just consistently continue to build. The same criteria that we use to select our creators is what we apply to ourselves. Consistently, persistently be at it. Now, a month, 2 months down the line, there will be new trends that will keep on coming. Our motto or our objective is very simple. We want to introduce as many use cases as possible. We know that art is the base. We also know now that music is the base. Audiovisual will always remain. Now, what else can you do? Now, as I said, creativity is the key here. We've had Sunburn Music Festival that has come up with utility tokens. Along with the artwork, you have the physical utilities. We have the event, the festival happening live. So we will now have tickets being launched as NFTs. We've had devotional NFTs, like spiritual NFTs of, you know, Ganesh Mantra selling. That's been doing really well. We're introducing gamers and YouTubers now. We are announcing a short film on the blockchain very soon. A lot of innovation is going to happen. Our long-term goal is very simple. Just increase the number of creators, increase the number of collectors, and ensure that our collectors, once they collect the first set of creation, they're able to sell it in the secondary market. Because for us, the success is not in just the creator making the sale. For us, the success happens when the collector, after having collected the first NFT, makes a sale in the secondary market. Something we will just continue to do. We will continue to introduce new use cases and literally break the, you know, what was that line from Star Trek? Go where no man has ever been. What was that?
Yeah, boldly go where no man has gone before.
That's what Captain Kirk said. That's what we want to do.
Okay, so all in all, and humor me on this one, because this is something that I've been thinking about ever since NFT started gaining the traction that they have been. I'd say after cryptocurrency, NFTs appear to be the next big way to market blockchain technology and get people, weirdly enough, the touchy-feely something that they can actually look at and experience to understand what blockchain technology is. Is that a right hypothesis?
100%, Animesh. I think crypto being so vague in India at this point of time, NFTs have been a boon to crypto because NFTs are going to ensure a faster adoption of the blockchain. And I think I'm just, you know, I and my co-founder, we're just fortunate to have been in the NFT space because it's literally opened a whole new world for everyone.
Fantastic. Final question to you, Vishakha. What are you listening to these days?
Oh my God, you guys are going to hate me for this. You won't believe it, but I actually find, can I actually show you my Spotify right now? This is what I was listening to in the morning.
Okay, that is by Uma Mohan. Did I get that right?
Yes, Uma Mohan, Shivtandav Strotam. I'm motivational, this thing. So there are days I have this entire, I have this playlist called Feeling Spiritual. And yeah, that's what I was listening to.
Full power to you. Thank you so much for sparing some time out and talking NFTs with us, helping clear some of the myths that a lot of our listeners would be having. Once again, thank you so much, Vishakha. It was a pleasure to have you on Changing Tunes.
The pleasure was all mine. Thank you.
And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. Stay connected for more conversations in and around the Indian music industry at musicplus.in.